Okay, never give up is the theme for this service, new service, and title of my sermon, Never Give Up. So we'll have a look at Galatians 6, 7 to 10. It'll appear up on the PowerPoint. Galatians 6, 7 to 10. Okay. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And we look at verses 9 to 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Okay, who's heard of Sir Winston Churchill, one of the greatest prime ministers, statesmen known in this in history, Prime Minister of England? So, in 1941, the former Prime Minister of England, which should be up to PowerPoint 3, Sir Winston Churchill visited the Harrow School, the boys' boarding school he attended in his youth, and he was asked to address the students. He presented a short speech. And near the end of his speech, he said, never give up, never give up. Never, 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 in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give up, except to convictions of honour and good sense. Never yield to force, never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. Finished his speech, and the whole audience just rose and applauded him. And they applauded him because he was a man whose life matched the words that he was speaking. And during the darkest days of World War II, where country after country was being invaded by Germany, and German planes were bombing England and just smashing cities down to a rubble, the threat of invasion of England was just a matter of course. And many Britons had already given up hope they were going to be invaded and it was going to be all over. But Winston Churchill never lost hope and he never gave up. History would show that Britain and its allies would prevail and have victory. Here's a man talking about never giving up, and he lived that. Many times throughout his political career, Churchill had setbacks and his political career appeared to be over. And three times this happened, and three times he returned as Prime Minister. And he's been an inspiration, a man of vision, a leader of a nation that would not accept defeat, a man who would never give in to his enemies. What do we learn from Winston Churchill? What are we learning from scripture we're reading today? What are we learning about never giving up? Perhaps you're sitting here thinking, oh, hang on, yeah, I've given up on, I've given up in this circumstance, that circumstance, yeah. This is great advice to not give up for soldiers facing defeat, for athletes facing stiff competition, for students facing exams, for parents crying out over wayward children, for married couples contemplating divorce, for those who are unemployed, for those in physical pain, for those at a loss following the death of a loved one, for those who are facing financial ruin, for those who are hurting over a relationship, for those facing any other type of hurdle that seems hopelessly impossible to get over. This is the advice of never giving up. And just like Steve in the drama, about to throw himself over the edge, he had given up, but the word of God spoke into his heart. A couple of Christians there spoke to him and shared about some of the great men of God who had gone to the bottom. Joseph thrown down into a pit. Imagine being Joseph in the pit and this is it, you're going to die. Never would he have thought where he would be where he would end up. And I guess the key to Joseph and Job is to keep trusting in God. No matter what your circumstances, no matter where we're at, if we're not giving up and we're seeking God, God has got his hands over your life. So whether it's a now thing or whether it's in the future, you get yourself into a circumstance, just never give up. Now this never giving up is also great advice in our Christian walk, in our Christian serving. And for those that want to serve in God's work, in his kingdom. Some Christians have been known to quit too soon. Started something, then that's it, not doing it. But in the Lord's service, it's always too soon to quit. And it's never time to slacken our efforts. It's never time to walk away. And it's a time never to give up. Now, Paul had this in mind when he wrote in Galatians 6:9, which we had a look at before. Let us not become weary in doing good. Don't become tired in doing good. This is what Paul was saying. Sometimes we, as Christians, I hear Christians say all the time, oh, I'm too tired. Why don't you come? Oh, it's too tired. Oh, I'm exhausted. Oh, worked 9 to 5 yesterday. Oh, tired. Had to walk up the shops. Too tired. Exhausted. And these aren't the older people, these are the younger people. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest. If we do not give up, when you're in God's kingdom, when you're in his service, we do not give up. Whenever we are tempted to do less than our best, or perhaps to quit completely, we should remember the truth that comes out of these verses. And we need to be reminded to keep going, keep going, keep doing. And why do some of us give up? Well, perhaps it's too hard. Perhaps you've tried and you've failed a number of times. Maybe you're doing something that you're unable to cope with. Maybe you've taken on a challenge that's way too challenging for you, and it's not the area that you should be in. You need to sort of step back a bit. Step back in the area that you fit into, that you know, you've prayed about, you've spoken to your leaders about, you know God is leading in that area. Don't try and be someone else because, oh, that looks good. And therefore I get up, play my guitar, and I don't even know how to play a chord, and it just doesn't sound good. Do something that God is leading you to. And perhaps you're not willing to be stretched in whatever we're doing. So we do not give up in doing good. Other reasons why we might give up. Lack of opportunity. The church leadership hasn't recognized me. Here I am. I'm a great talented man, great talented person, and they haven't recognized me. There's no opportunity for me. So what's the point? There's nothing for me to do. I'm going to go home and watch the car racing and sit there and eat lunch and everything. I'm not doing anything because there's no opportunity. This is you. Hopefully it's not. But if it is, have you met with your home group leaders? Do you actually attend home group? Have you spoken to one of your pastors, or members of oversight? Have you gone to them and said, hey, look, you know, I've got something burning in my heart. I really just want to do this in God. Have you done that? Or are you waiting for someone to tap you on the shoulder? And for sure, there will be times where a leader will come to you and the pastor may come to you and say, look, you know, I just believe God is just sowing something in your life here. I just want to go away and pray about it. And then God will ignite something. But it's also up to us. And there's opportunities where all the time, every year, there's forms that come out, what areas you want to be involved with. Often they come back, one or two people fill them in.
perhaps our desire. We need to just raise that desire. What is God telling you at right this moment? What's he want you to do? What's he want you to be involved in? Or do you think you're just gonna we're just gonna come to church and Sunday and then off we go? Do we want ministry? Do we want to be involved? As it says there, do not become weary in doing good. Let's do some good. There's a whole community out there that is dying. It's crying out for Christians to come and love them. Show them the way. Another reason might be bad attitudes. You know, always complaining. Don't like the leaders on the program. Don't even like the program. Let you to do it my way or I'm not coming. Another reason might be I've been hurt. Someone's hurt me. Someone said something bad about me. Someone gossiped about me. And there's a tendency for some people that to blame others. Blame others for our own circumstances. But sometimes it's time for us to stand up and say, okay, God, I'm allowing things to happen and I'm reacting to things that perhaps do happen and what people say. Yeah, maybe someone has said something, but how do we react? Do we react as a brother and sister in Christ? Do we react in a bad way? Or perhaps another reason is you're too caught up in the world. Perhaps the question really is, where do you spend your time? What do you do with your time? Believe it or not, we've all got 24 hours in the day that God gives us every day. What do you do with your 24 hours? What do you do with your whole week? How much of it is going into doing good? How much is it being prepared for the harvest? How much of it is what God is directing you? Perhaps we're just caught up in other things in the world. Perhaps the temptation, the glitzy lights and all the things have caught us up, and that's what we're doing in the world. But where does God play the part in your life? Perhaps work has become the issue. You know, unfortunately I've got to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and that's it. So that's why. I've got to pay the bills. I've got to get ahead. Unfortunately, I'm sacrificing my family. I'm sacrificing the church. I'm sacrificing ministry. I'm sacrificing... What for? Do not give up doing good. Or maybe one other reason we give up. We're just too lazy. Too tired. Can't be bothered. But doing good... As Christians, what is our calling? Well, according to Galatians 6:9-10, 6:9, it is about doing good. Each one of us is called to do good. And this is what Christian service is all about. Now, of course, okay, be reminded, doing good isn't how you become a Christian. Becoming a Christian is about repenting of your sin and asking Jesus into your life. That's when we become a Christian. But as a Christian, our ministry is to do good. We don't do good to get to heaven. We get to heaven because Jesus died on the cross and we repented of our sin and we've asked him into our life. You know, we believe in God. But doing good is now, once you become a Christian, your service in God. What is your service in God? What are you doing that is good? As Christians, we're not meant to be just believers, we're meant to be doers. I've come across Christians, not from here, that know their Bible backwards, back to front. They've gone to the theological college. They can tell you every scripture. They can, if they would have been standing here, they would have got every one of those jumbled books of the Bible correct. But when you see what they're doing in their life, the fruits in their life, they don't do anything. I knew one guy, he just sits at home and all he did was read his Bible. Now that's good, but the Word of God is just not enough if all we're doing is reading it. We've got to actually act the Word of God.
The Word of God is a practical, living Word of God. And James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And don't misinterpret this. It doesn't mean read the word of God and you'll be deceived. It means don't be deceived by just reading the word of God. You've got to do what it says. Now, perhaps I can have a little bit of an indulgence here. I talked about Winston Churchill, but there's also one great man I want to refer to, a man called John Kennedy, who happened to be the legendary coach of Hawthorn, who coached them to their very first premiership. So allow me a bit of indulgence, just in case you've missed out hearing Hawthorn won the premiership 2 weeks ago, just in case you have not heard that or I haven't got around to telling you. I was at the game and enjoyed every moment of it. Brendan was there, Hayden was there. We were cheering them on. I even got to high five the players at the fence. So that was a thrill. John Kennedy. And throughout the year, the Hawthorn Football Club have used this as a motto. In one of his great speeches to the players during half-time, three-quarter time, he just yelled at them. He was a very forceful guy, disciplinarian. His 1961 team, because he trained them so hard in the morning, things that they didn't do in those days, they were known as Kennedy's Commandos. And one of the things that he said was, don't think, do. And that's been used in a lot of the marketing at Hawthorn. And there it is. That's a photograph at the preliminary final when Hawthorn played St Kilda, and they won, of course. They actually got a picture of him on the banner. There was a giant banner, and it says, don't think, do. And so, of course, Hawthorn went on to win the premiership because they didn't just think about it, they did it. And as we read in James, don't just read the word, let's go and do it. Let's do the word of God. We're here to do the word of God. You can take that off because there's some Geelong supporters in the congregation. Sorry, Doris. I'll email it to you later. Christ's example. When we do good, we are simply following what Jesus did. Paul tells us to adopt the mind of Christ, to imitate him. In Philippians 2:5, it says, your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ. And what was his attitude? To do his Father's work, to do the good work. And he went out and did it. He made time for the widows, the orphans, children. He healed the lame, the deaf, the blind. He embraced the outcasts, the lepers, prostitutes, tax collectors. He took the side of the poor, the little guy, and the underdog, and those who were rich and powerful, influential. He fed the hungry, he befriended the lonely. He went out to minister to the sick. He not only had compassion for the crowd, but he taught them. He went out and he taught them. It wasn't just feeding them. He would feed them physically, look after their physical needs, but he would teach them. Perhaps that's a lesson for us when we're reaching out to our neighbours, to our friends, our relatives. We might be reaching out to spend some time with them. We might have them over for a meal. But at some point, when do you teach them? When are they open for the Word of God? Or do we just live our lives just socialising? Jesus would teach them. Every time we do good work, we are following the steps of Jesus. And doing good is not just an act of service. It's not a duty. It's not just something we have to do, but it's a privilege. It's a privilege and honour to do good in God. It's a privilege and honour to serve in God's kingdom. Now we look at the promise of the harvest. And we look at the last thing that Paul says. Let us not become weary in doing good, says Paul, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. Is that the one? No. We're back to PowerPoint 12. Huh?
You got that one? Yeah. Okay. There it says in verse 9, at the proper time, so let's not become weary in doing good. Let's do good and let's get ourselves tired and working at it, but never giving up. But at the proper time, we will reap a harvest.
Now, a farmer, as we know, he goes out to work and he goes and prepares the soil, sows the seed, pulls out the weeds, he waters the plants, and he can never afford to give up or quit. He never gives up. The farmer will never give up. He'll go out there and do what he has to do to the soil. He might have to pour fertilizer on it, but he will never give up. Because that's his life, that's his farm, that's his means of feeding his family, providing for his family. Regardless of the long hours, regardless of whether it's hot sun or pouring rain or it's freezing cold, frost, wind, hurricane, storms, he's working on. But one thing, when you compare the farmer to a Christian, is the farmer has no guarantee that his crop will reap a harvest. There are farmers who've had crops hit by hailstones, they hit their fruit and they're all knocked out of the trees and there is no harvest. There are farmers who've had bushfires come through and wipe out all their crops. There are farmers who've had locusts and plagues of mice and whatever come and wipe out all their crops. There are farmers who live in drought-stricken areas that haven't had any water and their crops have been useless. The farmer has no guarantee of a harvest. But a Christian does. At the appropriate time, we will reap a harvest. This is a promise of God. So if we're doing good things in God, if we never give up, the promise is we will reap a harvest. Now just remember, we're working in God's time, not in Gary Kerwell's time or Westmail's time or your time. You're working in God's time. And it's going to be at the proper time. And that's in God's time. He will provide that harvest. But if we're like the farmer and we keep working and toiling and working hard and doing things good in God, well, then we're going to see that harvest come. I'll use an example, just something, a little bit of research. Hands up if you're a salesman here. Salesman, saleswoman. Have you ever worked in sales? Yeah, okay. You might understand this. Now, a survey published about sales in this multinational company, they revealed that 48% of salesmen quit trying to sell to a customer. So they go and visit a customer, and then the customer doesn't want the product, so they leave. And they never return again. So that's 48%. So who's good at maths? Anyone good at maths? Okay. All right, Mark. We're up to 48%. You got that? All right. Okay. I know you got 10 fingers, 10 toes, so that's 48%. So 48% of salesmen quit trying to sell a customer after the first visit. Now 25%, which is a further 25%, they call a second time before they quit. How many is that now? 71. Can we help him? 73? Okay, we'll rise it up. That's okay. Close enough. A discount. That was a discount you provided, yeah. Okay, that's great. So we've got 48 and now 25%. Now only 15% made 3 visits before they quit. So how many is that? 88, okay. So now we've got 88% in total that quit after the first visit, quit after the second visit, quit after third. That's 88%. It leaves us how many? 12%. Good. The remaining 12% kept on calling. And the interesting thing about the 12% is that they made 80% of the sales, of the company's sales. So which means that the other 88% made 20% of the sales. Have I lost anyone there? So it means those 12% who kept calling learnt something about ever giving up. They learnt about putting in, keep going. Maybe they became a nuisance of themselves and the customer said, I'm buying now. But they kept visiting. That meant that they started to build a relationship. So all of a sudden, you become familiar. They weren't going in there offensively. They'd go there as a salesman. Look, okay, well, perhaps this is not the product for you. Perhaps we've got another one. But they generated 80%. And that's in Christendom as well, I would believe. Is that we meet someone and we just drop a seed and then we run away. Or we quit. I didn't become a Christian. How many times have we done that? And God's told you, go and share with that person. When did you follow them up? When did you go and visit them? When did you have them over for a coffee? When did you pick up the phone? When did you email them? When did you SMS them? When did you text them? Whichever way you communicate these days. Did you know there's about 75 different ways to communicate? I like the one where you get over the back fence and just talk to your neighbour. That's a beauty, that one. So the promise of the harvest. Matthew 5:16. PowerPoint for that. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your light. Shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. They may see your good deeds. As we're doing good, as we're never giving up, people are going to see your good deeds. And they're going to know that you love mankind. You love people in the community. You love the downtrodden. You love your next door neighbour. You love your family. You love the friends that you meet. So wonderful things start to happen when we're doing good things in God. There's a whole world out there desperate for love, and there's a whole world out there crying for it. And they're surrounded, a lot of people surrounded by hate, a lot of people surrounded by murder, theft, abuse, selfishness, and greed. And they're crying out for love. This is where we as a church come in. This is where we are doing good. This is where we're pouring out love to others. I'm going to close it there. But never give up. Winston Churchill said, never give up. Never, 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 never give up. However, God's, and I use the example of the salesman, but God's business is even more important. And again, as the scripture does say, that we do good and we never give up. You might be facing some tough battles yourself today. Maybe your world's crashing in on you. Perhaps there's hurt and there's pain. And perhaps there's been a time we've just stopped serving God. And perhaps you've just haven't found your way in God. Perhaps you know God spoke to you about something 5 years ago, told you to do it. And perhaps you're not hearing God's voice at the moment. Or perhaps it's time to go back to when God last spoke to you or when you last heard him and do what he's told you to do. Let's be obedient. One thing that is important is that in our lives, as we worship God, as we enter into his kingdom, as we do good in his kingdom, we might have a few losses, we might have a few battles, we might have a few hurdles, but the course has been decided and we've got victory. Amen? Jesus gives us victory. Okay, I'm going to close it there. Perhaps the band could come up.